Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Ravens and Crows on liveparanormal.com. My name is Alex, and I am your host for this evening. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am so happy to hear that we have some new listeners hanging out tonight. So there are a few ways to interact with us. We have quite a few different ways, actually. So first one, probably the most important, is our live chat room on liveparanormal.com. So if you've never done this before, it's okay. I'm going to walk you through it right now. So you are going to go to liveparanormal.com. Very easy. Then you're going to go to the top of the website, and you're going to see something that says Live Radio Player. Live Radio Player. So what that will take you to is a page with a chat room and a little box that says Live Radio Player. So if you're listening and you're not on liveparanormal.com now, I highly recommend that you get over there, and then you'll be able to interact with me and any other people that are chatting in the show. Also, you can also talk to us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and you can also talk to me on Facebook. Our page is Ravens and Crows, and that will take you, basically that's a direct line to me. That's probably the best way to contact me. So if you have questions for our guest tonight, that will be the best way to get a hold of us. Anyway, if you want your chance to be on the radio, you can also call into the show. Our call-in number is 347-202-0316. Again, that's 347-202-0316. Easy peasy, right? So, yeah. Anyway, I am really excited for tonight, everybody, because we have an amazing guest. This is actually my first time interviewing her, so this is going to be quite the adventure. I cannot wait for you all to meet her. She is quite the powerhouse. I, as someone who does organize events occasionally on, you know, whether it's paranormal or theater events, running events is not easy. And for Maria Schmidt, she is not only taking her mission locally, but she's also taking it worldwide. So I am so excited and pleased to welcome Miss Maria Schmidt to Ravens and Crows. Maria, welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you? Thank you so much for such an incredible introduction. I hope I meet up to the expectations of everyone now. So such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. You know, I mean, I've been watching The World's Largest Ghost Hunt for the past few years now, and I've always been really impressed by the execution of it all and just how it all just comes together. It's pretty amazing. So don't sell yourself short there.
Well, thank you. You know, it's almost like when you plan a trip and you, when you end up after you've done your trip and say, oh, my God, wasn't that amazing? How did I ever do this? How did it all come together? It's like you get little bits and pieces added on a daily basis, and it's not just you. It's the energy. It's the world. It's everybody around you that multiplies the effect. So as much as I want to take total credit for it, I will never do that, because it's the amazement is on how the power of all bundled up into one, and this is what you get. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's great. For those, I just realized we just kind of just started diving right in. I gave you a little introduction. So for any of my listeners who don't know who you are, which they should, shame on you, would you mind introducing yourself to
And that's how my mind works. That is part of how the mind works for Maria. So I am Maria Schmidt, and I am not a ghost hunter. I like to call myself almost a ghost hunter collector. I have been in the field now for about 4 or 5 years. Started out with my husband in the operation of a very haunted inn in Florida, and we found out that this was quite the world. And from there, we started a company called Haunted Journeys because we saw there was a gap. There was a gap of people getting knowledge and understanding where to go to, where things were haunted in a safe environment. And then from there, it went on to establishing, and I'm sure you'll ask me how we got that done, the National Ghost Hunting Day, which led up to the world's largest ghost hunt. All that happened in the period of about 3 years. So it took a little time for its development, but it's a big bang. It truly is.
Nice. Wow, that's really cool. So were you someone who grew up with a lot of experiences, or is just kind of just happened with, you know, your husband and the inn and whatnot?
Well, I am a registered nurse by trade, and I think being in the medical field, there's no doubt you get metaphysically challenged all the time, especially in the realm that I served, which was in gerontology, which is care of the old. I dealt a lot with death and dying. Yeah, dealt a lot with death and dying. I did some hospice work, et cetera. There's stories that are unexplainable and so incredible. And I always say, well, I worked in both ends. I did a little bit of OB work and labor and delivery. And I also, most of my career was spent with the gerontology and death and dying and the hospice process. And to me, both ends is the strongest connection that I would ever have while I'm alive with God. And when I'm experiencing death with someone leaving our world or the birth of a child, there can be no stronger connection to God, in my opinion. From there, there was a lot of experiences and things that I just could not explain. But I said, well, you know, it is what it is. I didn't put too much value into it. When we got into the Seven Sisters Inn to operate it, and that's what's in Ocala, Florida, it was on that ghost hunters, and that's the reason that we were sort of, well, is this true or not, you know? And I will tell you, there was not a day that did not go by without some kind of interaction or some evidence of the spirits showing themselves. So it was, you know, that's when it really was the eye-opener to this amazing world.
Oh, wow. Huh. I mean, I've heard, not specific stories, but I hear, you know, a lot of paranormal encounters from the deaf and dying, those who work with, you know, hospice, registered nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine it's a bit sobering too, because, you know, we don't know what's awaiting for us on the other side, and that can cause a lot of anxiety for people. And from your experience, do you consider yourself afraid of death, or do you find that anxiety non-existent?
the anxiety in relation to the death and dying process or witnessing it?
In relation to the death and dying process.
And then that's a fairly good question, and that's, I think, what made our my interaction with those folks especially sweeter. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but it was. We dealt specifically in our assisted living facility. We owned it for a few years. Our specialty was dementia disorders. So when you're cognitively or your memory impairment is so high level, the death and dying process actually, you know, I know there's no way to say it, but it's almost sweeter because they don't hang on to life as dearly as those that are more cognitively intact. They almost go with the wind, and it's almost like a free flowing death process. It's hard to explain, but that's what led to a lot of the near death experiences that I witnessed myself and was involved with, and so it was quite intriguing. Yeah, it's quite intriguing.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Well, I can't imagine what that must have been like. Wow.
We have to do more studies in that realm. It is my belief, and I don't know, and this is something that we question, and you know, we all base ourselves on personal experiences and theory, right, Alex? But and there were times I felt that all I was dealing with was a body. That the spirit had left. That the spirit actually traveled outside of their body, and my theory behind that is when you don't have the cognitive defense mechanism to keep your soul inside your body, you know, when that is basically gone, the body can freely leave. And we actually saw evidence of almost shell-like bodies still breathing, still circulating, but they did not feel like they had soul left. It's a very interesting, assessment that we did through our caregiving, but there should be some more studies on that.
Completely agree. That's quite the background and experience. So what inspired you to create National Ghost Hunting Day and the world's largest ghost hunt?
It was very interesting because when we decided to start essentially Haunted Journeys is basically a go-to place. It's almost like your trip advisor for everything haunted. You know, we have listed there haunted hotels, the inns, haunted theaters, restaurants, just locations, ghost tours and events. It's everything that you want to do. And as far as ghost, what we call haunted tourism, we've coined that out there. When we started really, you know, gathering a lot of data, et cetera, I said, well, we'd love to be able to present this on a special day. Why don't we do this on National Ghost Hunting Day? Certainly there's a day in the calendar that celebrates ghost hunting. And we found National Paranormal Day. And they said, well, this is not what we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate the haunted. And we found out there was no such thing. So we made some inquiries, and, you know, they said, well, you know, when we contacted the agency that does these national days, she said, well, don't be very optimistic because, you know, there's so many requests for so many national days. She says, well, we'll go ahead and submit it. Well, they were ecstatic when they heard about this. So they were very, very supportive, and they created that pretty much. And I think in 2016 is when we celebrated the very first National Ghost Hunting Day. And I tell you not, Alex, we started that in the beginning of July, and we said, well, what can we possibly do on this day, on our first year here, which ended up to be October 1st. What can we do this on this day to really celebrate, you know, the power of National Ghost Hunting Day? And he says, well, let's celebrate with unity. Why don't we do the world's largest ghost hunt? I don't know if it's ever been done or tried. I said, certainly with the technologies we have today in communication, we can do this. And that's what we did. And I made a few phone calls. One of them was to a very special friend, Ryan Cano, that you may know. And I said, mm-hmm. Ryan, what, you know, let's discuss this. Well, at that point, it wasn't the world's largest ghost hunt. I was limiting myself to the nation's or the United States' largest ghost hunt. He said, Maria, why stop there? Let's do this thing around the world. And I go, well, I can give you a lot of reasons why we can't do this around the world. He said, no, we're going to do this around the world. And he helped me, and we did do it around the world. And in year one, we had 70 teams in about 5 countries. And we did that in 3 months, Alex. I don't know how we did that,
wow.
But it was the power of all of us getting together. It's the wind. It's the energy that was created when something like this comes together. The second year, which was last year in 2017, we grew up to about 92 teams around the world. And we were in 10 countries and in 5 continents. And this year, we stopped the faucet. We stopped it at 154, and we are in 13 countries, and we're in 6 continents this year, including one we never had before, which was Africa. So we do have a team in South Africa, and we're so pleased. We have the Philippines is new this year. Sweden is new this year. We never had any teams in Hawaii. We have 2 teams in Hawaii this year. So we've got certainly very magical places that they're going to just be incredible, just incredible. And every one of them is as excited as you are. We'll call you a world's largest ghost hunt virgin because it's the first year you're doing this. But our veterans have done this for our veterans that have done this for 3 years, they're just as excited. And they come back to me and they private message me. He says, Maria, I don't know what's going on, but this year is going to be as powerful as we've ever had this before. And I feel that way. I feel like the energy is just creating. And you're part of our little secret group, Alex. That's what it started back in when I turned on the switch for a private group where we all collect and we all ramble on and we talk, et cetera. That's where the connection starts. It doesn't start on the 29th this year. It started a few months ago when we all got in there and started sharing things and talking to each other and liking each other. So the momentum builds up to this day, but it's a long haul. It's a wonderful process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's amazing. So what is the theme for this year? And the focus, I guess, that's a better word for it.
Yeah.
The focus for this year was what attracted me to this event this year.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? We have 3 main goals. The number one focus, our primary goal here is historic preservation. You know, this is all run by grassroots. It's all volunteers everywhere from ourselves to my helpers that have been wonderful helping me and to the teams. And a lot of Blesswood and Tears Equity just goes into this. And it's all for the purpose of historic preservation. So they're raising money. Each of the locations are going to do the little mini events where they ask for donations or sell tickets or however they want to call it, and they keep 100% of those proceeds to the property. And you have a very noble property, Alex, and you're a great example of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to help. And have you mentioned your location yet? Have you told everyone yet?
Yeah, we announced it on my team's Facebook page. It is the Trivet Clinic in Hansonville, North Carolina. And it's actually a location that I just recently got acquainted with in the last 6 months. And I fell in love with this location. And it's like my personal dream come true, because it's this little, like, clinic in the middle of nowhere, maybe like an hour and a half north of Charlotte, in this small little town. And there's also like a nurse, it's surrounded by a big nursery and all this land. And there's also cats everywhere, because, you know, they take care of cats and everything. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing, because I love cats and I'm a crazy cat lady. And the owners are just so great. And one of them is actually related to Dr. Trivet himself, the man who built the clinic back in the 1930s. And I didn't realize how beloved this place was by the community until we made a video about it. And in the first week, it got like 15,000 views, which is crazy. Wow. We've never had traction like that on one of our little haunted history Facebook videos. So that, all of that combined just told me that this was a really special place. And honestly, there was a lot of activity there too. I mean, the ghosts there really do want to talk to you.
Yes, yes. And that's what we're finding with all these, you know, that's our motto with Haunted Journeys, is the haunting is history wishing to be heard. And it is true, whether it's good history, whether it's bad history, whether it's happy history, whether it's sad history, where it's complex history, whatever it is, they want to retell their story. And it's such a wonderful feeling when you find these special places, and they don't have to be humongous, sexy places. They can be as noble as the one you just found that needs to be preserved. Their story needs to be told. So there's a lot of good things that can come out of here that normally would not have the platform to show off. And I say show off in a good way. I think it, the word maybe is the word I want to use, is showcase, because their story wants to be heard, and not just by a few, but by many. You know, they're proud of their history. Your doctor is probably elated that his words are going to be, you know, going around the world on this special day, and we hope that happens, and that their history is heard, and every place is special, and every you know, no matter how small it is or how famous it is, every single place is very special, and it's got, you know, their special spirits abide to it for a reason.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And these places, what we don't realize is all of these locations have really strong ties with people in the community, and it's something that we often take for granted. And it didn't really hit me until we did this video about the Trivet Clinic, and people were saying, oh, that's where my great-grandmother got her tonsils taken out, or, oh, that's my great-uncle's clinic. And I'm like, what? Like, there's relatives like still around and they're still alive. I mean, there's former patients that are still around. And it's one of those really amazing things. I mean, even as you go down the line throughout the generations, I mean, we still have these connections to these locations. And I think when, especially since the paranormal has become a bit of a novelty in some cases with, you know, the entertainment world, we tend to forget that line between the living and the dead, it's not a very thick line. It's rather thin, and it's not going to take much to really open up that connection.
No, you're absolutely right. And you hit on something extremely potent, which is, if you look at the list of all these haunted places that we're introducing on the 29th, some of these cities you've never heard of. And the people, the community, as sponsored by the team, are so excited about having their stories heard. You know, through the haunted or not through the haunted, they want their town to be heard. They want their stories to be heard. So it's like you said, that the connection between the living and the dead is sort of tightened. It becomes a little bit more cozier because it's almost like we start to say we need each other in order to, you know, continue on the mission of the legacy of this place, of this mm-hmm. town, of these people. And that's what makes it especially beautiful. I mean, there's one place in Illinois. It's an hour. It's Waynesville, Illinois. It's one of our teams. That is a town that is the start of Route 66. And one of the team members, you may know her, Mary Marshall, is a psychic mm-hmm. medium that's going to be on that property. She said this city is amazing. And it's because it is the mouth that pours into Route 66. It's on the river. It's got a lot of the complexities that make towns more haunted than others. We've just put something on the map that may be able to be served in its historical recognition that it would never have been if it wasn't for the event. So and for this team. To say, I want to be part of the world's largest ghost hunt. I want my, you know, this historical building, my historical town, to be a part of this. And everyone has a voice here, and everyone is represented here. And it's pretty amazing. It's almost exhilarating.
Nice. So, tell me a little bit about how this process is going to work for the. For the fundraising, because I know, because I took a note here. It's like you have satellites, and it's kind of what we just talked about with all of these teams working together and whatnot. Yeah, the locations. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be donating 100% of the donations collected, which is fabulous. How mm-hmm. much money did you guys raise in 2017?
You know, it's funny because we had an estimate. We didn't really do the calculations this year. We're going to do a little bit more formal calculations. People get a little bit, you know, funny about disclosing how much money, et cetera. But from what I understand right now, it's going to be in the super thousands. I mean, it's going to be incredible. Ooh. From what I'm hearing. My two local properties here in Hamilton, Ohio, we put up, they sold out in, I think it was in less than 2.5 weeks, they sold out. Each one had sold 30 tickets for each site. They raised about $1,200 for each of the historic sites.
Oh, wow.
That's just two out of the 154 properties. But everyone is different. There are some properties that are selling 100 tickets because the property is humongous. There's some that are only selling 6 tickets. There's one site that they're doing everything on a paid live stream with donations. So everyone is sort of doing it on their own merit because we don't see that money. That money does not come to us and then we show it back to them. Mm-hmm. It goes straight from the ticket purchase point to the location directly. So, you know, I'd love to give you an answer about last year. I would say it was a very noble amount with the 92, you know, teams. So this year we're going to do a better job in calculating the fiscal effect that we have for historical preservation, because this is a message that we have to get into the world and say this is a very good way to raise funds through spirit, you know. And a lot of, you know, there's some historical sites that are still a little reserved about being called haunted, and yet they are, and mm-hmm. they don't. It's almost like they just don't think it's the right way to market their property, and yet they're struggling.
Right.
So, yeah, we're hoping to change that framework a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because there is that, I don't want to call it a stigma, maybe novelty, like I said earlier, that comes with being a haunted location. And that can be both good and bad thing for a location, especially when it comes to maybe unexpected visitors at night trying to ghost hunt or It depends on their funding too, if they're a nonprofit as a historical site. But also, I think a lot of these historical locations don't realize that there is some money involved in being a haunted location. And I've been talking to a few historical places around where I live, and they're saying, oh, we might have to close down because we're running out of money and, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, your place is haunted. I mean, you can, you know, you can monetize on this. You know, you can keep it as big or small as you want it, but there is some opportunities here, and you have folks here, you know, that are not with us in the physical world anymore, but they do want to communicate, and it's, you be giving back to the location. So there is a lot of opportunity there, especially, gosh, I'm really into historic preservation. And it's like, and I want to see these places survive, because if they don't, we lose that history and we lose a part of ourselves.
Oh, I can give you examples, Alex, where they've come to us and say, if it wasn't for the haunted, we would be demolitions. We would have to give up the land, the property. We cannot sustain it. And they've done quite well. Now, you know, there's merit to say, yeah, fiscally, that they're being supported by funding that's brought in by the haunted tourism. But also there's a piece of this that's extremely important is that their history is being told and listened to with more vigor. You know, people listen to a haunted history story with a lot more interest than they do a plain old history lesson, you know. You get children involved. Children love to hear a haunted story. And if it's based on historical facts behind it, it becomes a lesson to them. So there's a lot of merit in that, too, that it does allow for that history to be spoken through the, you know, through the spirit and much more effectively.
Yep. No, I completely agree with that. Let's see. So I was looking at, you have quite the team coming in to help you out. You have Scotty Rorick coming in to help on this event.
Yes. Scotty's coming in to our command center. So our command center is in my hometown of Hamilton, Ohio, and we're going to have, it basically is going to be a network of computers all getting the live stream pumped up and the different formats that we're using. And we need someone to orchestrate all these teams. And that's what Scotty's going to be doing. So Scotty Rorick is a psychic medium from Wisconsin, and he's got he's more well known in the Midwestern areas, but he's starting to be, you know, appreciated everywhere around, which I'm excited about. But he's going to help navigate the team and coordinate it. And we're doing this all through live stream. So this is going to be your first year. So what's going to happen on the first hour is that we all zoom in into the command center. And they'll see Scotty there. He's going to do an invocation, which is very, very important, because the amount of energy that is introduced is amazing. You know, you will see that, Alex. It's just a level of intensity that there is for evidence and for the spirit communication is almost off the charts during the world's largest ghost hunt. And it's because of the collective consciousness that is created. It's so that all has to be protected and navigated. You'll be coming back after your first session, you know, after your first communication investigation with spirit that's been defined. And then we come back on the halftime and then do another little a little invocation, and just to keep us all aligned. And then this year we're doing a little different on the hour two, which is we call it the a customized investigation, where everybody's going to do something different. You know, their Australian group is going to be doing a seance. Another group is going to do a reenactment. So everyone's going to have their own little style, a little different approach. There's a couple of teams in Michigan that are going to do experiments with new equipment that they've purchased. and with sensory deprivation, et cetera. So, it's going to be fascinating what all the different teams are going to be doing on hour two. And then, of course, we come back to the command center at the end of hour two, and then we'll do the closing prayer, because that is just as important as the opening prayer, because these spirits will stay with us and they will linger on if we don't ask them to go home. And that's some of the issues that we've had in previous years. And we're trying to get all the teams really educated on how humongous this event is going to be on spirit activity and how we have to open it and close it safely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Yeah. This is so exciting. And
if I can share a quick story with you, and this is in my my first year when I was a world's largest ghost sense virgin, when I was done with it, I called up Brian, that night or the next day, I don't know what it was, and I said, "Brian, do you feel like 20 trucks just ran over you?" He says, "Maria, I have never felt this way." And it's just humongous tiredness. So I happened to be at a metaphysical fair the next weekend, and I chose someone. I choose a light worker about how I feel, what I'm drawn to, and I'm sure all of us do that as well. And I went to this little girl. She was from Britain, and she saw me coming into the room she was in, and she says, "She says to me, I don't know who you are, but you got thousands and thousands of spirits behind you."
Oh my God!
I know. You talk about me being flipped out. I said, "Is that why I'm feeling a little bit tired?" They've been sapping your energy. I said, "What have you been doing?" And she had no clue that I was involved with the world's largest ghost hunt. And when she found out, she said, "That explains it. I have never seen a trail of spirits as much as what you brought into this room." So, of course, she cleansed me, and we did a little thing in order to, help release them, et cetera. But that is the power of the day that we had, and that was back in 2016. 2017, I was a little bit more more serious and more defined about, asking them to leave and closing it up. And we, Scotty was really good about doing that, helping with us that last year as well. So,
Nice.
Pretty amazing.
And you have an amazing support system too. I'm looking at who else is on board, and you also have Brian J. Williams coming in as well from the Psychical Research Foundation. Wow.
He is amazing. In fact, I just chatted with him a few minutes ago right before your radio show. Brian is, as you mentioned, with the Cyclical Research Center out of that's an old research foundation that was started in the 1960s as part of Duke University. So this is no fly-by-night organization, very proud and very stellar organization. And he started on year one to do what they call random number generator studies with us. Mm-hmm. And it's the RNGs are gadgets that he's got around the world that basically measure a coin toss. So we can say we'll do a coin toss physically ourselves with a coin. It takes about a second or two to do a coin toss. Well, these little gadgets do millis of a second coin tosses. And what they measure is the law of probability of heads and tails. So in a normal realm where there's not a whole lot of, collective consciousness effect, there'll be a 50-50 probability of heads and tails. He has found that, or the Cyclical Research Foundation has found that when there's something going on in the world, like let's say a big wedding in England or a big typhoon or a hurricane going through the Carolinas, God bless you, when the world is focused on one particular event, the Super Bowl, a political activity, whatever it is, when the world is focused on that, it changes the law of probability on these coin tosses. Alex, it's amazing. And so he wondered if we could do that with the world's largest ghost hunt. And he introduced it in 2016 and 2017. And both years, we did do a dent on the law of probability of these coin tosses. So it's extremely exciting to know that how we can maybe utilize this type of research to say that collect consciousness is extremely powerful. Sometimes we see that in the power of prayer, right? When we collectively mm-hmm. pray for someone and they do make a difference. Alex, they really do.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this event because I am, honestly, I'm curious as to how this event's going to transpire, especially when you have, you know, so, like, what's the official number this year? 160, 159? How many teams do you have doing it this year?
Yeah.
154,
yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So, I mean, you got to think there's going to be at least, like, five people in each of these investigations,
yeah.
if not more. So, I mean, we're talking almost 1,000 people collectively doing this at the same time. And
yes.
I mean, the human mind is a very powerful thing. So when we're all focused on this one task during this 2-hour live stream, plus the people watching, like,
exactly.
Holy cow, I'm really excited about this.
We are just the tip of the iceberg, Alex. When you talk about, let's say, I think the average, and I did a quick average, the average participant rate is about 30 per site, because there are places that are doing 100 plus. So it's about 28. It was the average when I did a quick collection of these values.
Oh wow!
So we have 28. Let's call it 30, just to be simple. With, you know, times 154. Yeah, there we've got a couple of thousand there, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. What about all those people watching the live streams on Facebook? All those people watching the live streams on Shindig? All those people watching, listening about it on Paratalk Radio? I mean, and then you know what Facebook does with live streams. It just goes absolutely crazy and crazy. And, you know, that's just, again, the tip of the iceberg. Then we have also... Scotty Warwick is involved with a really cool organization that he founded himself and Terry, his wife. It's called Psychics Unite, and he's getting all those psychics tuning in into the command center as well. Now there's a couple of extra hundred there. So the power of all of us just looking, you know, is humongous. But what you will find, Alex, in your clinic, in the Trivette clinic, that once you leave the command center view and you start your investigation, you are just one. But then you'll feel the power of all of us behind you. But you will exclusively be only communicating with your one, you know, with your one location. So it becomes private, but with a force that's unreal. So it's hard to explain, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about when you experience it, because that's what I hear from teens every year. He says, yeah, we know we're one of so many out there, but it becomes a private and powerful session, and that's how they best describe it, because all you're worried about is your little spirits at Trivette. What you'll feel is the force of the power behind you that everyone's doing. On year one, one of the EVPs that we caught from Australia, and it's I believe that's when Brian Cano was doing the experiment called the Bridge, and we actually got an EVP from one of the sites in Australia that said, look at them all. They're coming towards us. Do you see them? They're coming towards us. It was like almost an exchange or conversation about them seeing us going to them. And mm-hmm. I said, gosh, that is the perfect way to describe what we're doing is this connection of a massive connection between the living and the dead, which is very, very powerful.
Wow. Whew, well, I feel super inspired and revved up now. This is exciting.
I am too. I'm there with you, girl.
If I can prompt you a question, if I may ask,
and I want to contribute this, because I think this is probably the most important part of what we're doing, is what messages are we getting from spirit? And mm-hmm. because this is a fabulous time to get that message because of the intensity of power. So last year, what we did is we collected all the different words that were spoken through either EVP or through ITC, your ghost boxes, or through even metaphysical communication, and or through whatever it is, automatic writing, whatever tools they used. We collected all these words per question. And there was one question that was asked last year, which we will be repeating this year. And it says, how do we best communicate with you? And the number one response to that question was oneness. I am not kidding you.
Aww.
Oneness.
Aww.
So what they're saying is that we all have to become one as a human race, and in the purity of one, the collectiveness of one, to best communicate with them. And I thought that was very, very sweet and very powerful. It was a quite dramatic presence on that word around the world, you know, around the different teams. And then the second word that came out, it was almost a phrase, but it was said in different ways, but it had the same connotation. And the same thing with oneness. It was said in different ways, but it had the same connotation. But the second most popular word, a phrase that was mentioned was diminish ego. Diminish ego.
Wow.
Which I think was very powerful. And if you think about everything that's going on in this world and all the problems that we're having, you know, politically as well as everything, whether it's crime scenes, et cetera, whatever it is, the wars, everything that we're having, it's all based on ego and the ego wanting to be powerful. And, mm-hmm. That's where all this negativity is based on, is ego, is a human ego. And I thought that was very interesting. And they used the word diminish ego.
Huh. Yeah, well, that
so we'll
speaks a lot.
Something with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll stand to learn something this year.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Wow. So, Maria, this show just flew by because we are actually at that time where we need to start wrapping up. Where can people find out more about this event, how they can get on the live stream? Basically, how can they participate in this as a viewer?
And thank you, Alex, for supporting us. Above all, I think it's shows like yours that I think are the most grassroots way to really get to the persons that really are interested in that. So I want to thank you for that before I forget, which is very important to me.
No problem.
Our website is largestghosthunt.com. And if you go there, and I think you have to kind of navigate around, there is a mailing list on the very first page that if you want to be tagged when the event starts. We are planning to notify everyone prior to that so that you can stay tuned. And we will be sending you direct links of how to get into, the different live streams that we have. We want to empower every team, every location, as well as the command center, all in one, all of us, and all of these will be featured on the world, on the largestghosthunt.com. We're actually going to have about this weekend on our homepage, we're going to have an interactive map where people can zoom into their area and then click on and go right into a Facebook page directory for them. So
okay.
That's kind of fascinating. So that's all going to be on the largestghosthunt.com webpage. We're all over Facebook, as you know, Alex. We're trying to get the word out. We're on Twitter. We're on all the major social media outlets. So if you want to find us, it's as easy as just doing a Google search, and you'll find us. I want everyone to participate. I want everyone to see and experience how wonderful this is, the beautiful sights that are being offered on the Largest Ghost Hunt. And the Largest Ghost Hunt does not stop historic preservation, Alex. It sort of pushes it to the front line, but it continues every year. We're going to be publishing a National Ghost Hunting Day calendar in print form as well as in paper form. And that's going to have every location that was featured in the 2018 World's Largest Ghost Hunt will have a day on the calendar. So
nice. There'll
be a better celebration for that day. And then we're going to continue the messages throughout the year of featuring that historic site so we don't lose the stamina, the interest for these beautiful properties around the world.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wonderful. Well, Maria, thank you for taking time out of your, I know, very busy schedule to chat with us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been my honor. I am so happy. And it means more special to me, the fact that you're part of this, Alex. This radio show is truly special for that reason, because we're both connecting, and I think the spirit is listening. So watch out what's going on in Tourette Clinic on the 29th of September.
Excellent. Oh, I'm excited. All right. Well, Maria, thank you so much again. And I'll definitely be seeing you online and on the 29th.
Yeah, exactly. We will be connecting, Alex. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. That was the amazing Maria Schmidt from World's Largest Ghost Hunt and National Ghost Hunting Day. You can see why I had her on the show, because she's awesome. So make sure you guys check out the World's Largest Ghost Hunt happening on September 29th. If you guys follow me on Facebook or my team, the Association of Paranormal Study, we will be participating. We might have a few tickets available left for our thing. So if you're interested and you're around the Hamptonville, North Carolina area, be sure to send me a private message and we can get you set up. And if you can make it, we will be live streaming on Shindig and Facebook. So anyways, everyone, join us in 2 weeks. We are going to have Sam Baltrusis on the show. He's been doing quite a bit of work up in one of my favorite towns in the world, which is Salem, Massachusetts. So we're going to be talking a lot about the Salem Witch Trials and his upcoming books and TV appearances, and it's going to be a good time. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, October 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same time, same channel. Thank you all for being with us tonight, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.